Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Brandi Stankovic. Thank you for joining us here. Today's episode, I have a feeling, is going to be very, very special. Today, we're going to talk about living with your legacy in mind. So whether you're a leader that is ending your career or thinking about retirement, whether you're somebody that just really wants to make a difference or make an impact in the world, whether, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your journey, but it's about what do we want to do in regards to legacy? What impact do we want to make? How do we want to truly make a difference? And today's the day that we're going to give you the tools to do that. So let's get started. As you know, we learn, we love, and we kick ass. So in the learn section, I'm going to give you some tools, some things that you can start implementing, some different nuggets and some fun stuff, hopefully to give you a fresh perspective on creating this legacy or thinking with the legacy in mind. In the love section, we're going to meet a subject matter expert, a very special person that I had the opportunity to meet with earlier this year. His name is Chris Fair, and I'll tell you a little bit about his story. And then, of course, he's going to share his story with us. And he is somebody that I believe lives more full out and is just vibrant, and his passion just oozes from him. And I can't wait to share that with all of you that are listening and watching. And finally, in the kick-ass section, we'll give you those tools that you need to start implementing and making shit happen, because now's the time, and we want to urge you to live full out. So living with a legacy in mind, this can go a couple different ways. My first kind of frame of reference is Stephen Covey talks about leading with the end in mind, right? And so he says, what do we have to do to think about the end first? Put the end first. Think about the result. What result do you want? And then work backwards and getting whatever steps you need to achieve that goal. And I think that's important, especially from an emotional intelligence sense, especially from a operational sense. A lot of times we will create a strategic goal or come out of some sort of strategic planning meeting, and then you get back in the day-to-day and you get all in the weeds and you get, you know, just mixed up in the stuff that comes at you all the time and forget about those big picture things that you're working towards. And so having those reminders of what your end is so very important. But the also, if you think about it from a broader sense, a more spiritual sense, if you think about the actual end in mind, from a life standpoint, that's also important. When I was going through my doctoral program, they put us through I consider it a spiritual experience, but it was a leadership focus legacy exercise asking you to envision your funeral. So for those of you that are listening and like kind of are sponges for these types of exercises, I urge you to do this, but think about planning and think about visualizing your funeral. And of course, in my case, I want to be 100+ years old, and I want, you know, in that particular case, I want to picture my kids and being in great health and my grandkids and my great grandkids and have this generational impact. But, you know, who is at your funeral, and what's happening at that event, and what are people saying in that moment, and write your eulogy. What would somebody in the final words in you leaving this planet say about you? And focus on the legacy, the impact that you have on the world, and the power that you're going to have in people's lives. And that's a really powerful exercise. It almost gives me the chills even thinking about it now. And the fact that, what do you want to leave with the people around you? And start working on it now, right? Start working on it today, and give it when the chance that you have to actually make a difference is here. And so asking yourself questions like, what impact do you want to make, or what things do you want to accomplish by the time that you're 30 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, 60, and then don't stop there, 70, 80, 90, 100. And what kind of benchmarks do you want to have throughout your path? What characteristics do you want to exemplify? What characteristics do you want to embody? What experience do you want people to have with you? So when I walk away from an experience with you, what am I feeling inside? What am I feeling about myself? What am I feeling about the experience with you? And that's important. So often we get so self-focused that we think about, you know, like getting our own communication out and our own vibe, and here's what I'm thinking, and here's what I've been working on, and here's how cool I am. And instead, we should be thinking about the impact we have on the world and the impact we have on other people. And at your core, who do you want to be? Who do you want to kind of fundamentally, you know, be passionate about? Who do you want to fundamentally impact? Who do you want to embody? Who do you want to be? And what lives do you want to touch? And this is a powerful exercise of figuring out what that legacy is. And I think that whether it doesn't matter where, again, as I mentioned in a leadership journey, when I'm working with young professionals or if I'm working with professionals that are well into their career, I always ask them the question about their legacy. So if you think about it from a more business standpoint for a second, if you are in the middle parts of your career and you're thinking about legacy, and maybe it's 10, 15 years out, okay. So in 15 years out, what are you going to leave behind at the organization? Are you going to have a succession plan in place so the next in command is groomed and ready for to take over your position? Are you going to be in the community and a visible voice for a certain demographic that you feel passionate about? Are you going to make an impact in an international front? You know, what are you going to do? What's that legacy going to look like? What are people going to remember you for? Or are they going to? Right. And if you, you know, if the change was on the horizon and things tomorrow were going to look vastly different than they are right now, what would you do and stop and be thankful for in this moment right now? Right. Think about all the weather that's been happening in this world over the last few months and the hurricanes and all the different things that have happened, whether you're in the Caribbean or in the United States or just everywhere. Things, you know, devastation can happen at any moment. Mother Nature is a powerful thing. And that's just, you know, on the Mother Nature side, there's so many different challenges that we come across, whether they're business, their life, their evolution, their just health. Right. And what are we going to do in the moments that we have to be as full out as we possibly can? And I think that when we do get faced with challenge, a lot of times we forget to focus on life and love in the moment. An example of that is I had a friend that was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she said in her, the process of that, that all of her doctors and nurses and programs were so good about teaching her about death and how to prepare for it and write her living wills and what to do with her family and all that kind of stuff. And nobody sat down and taught her how to live. And nobody sat down and said, this is how it you should be in life. And here's a checklist on how to get up every day and just be as full out as you possibly can and live as powerfully as you possibly can in these precious moments that you have. And that's what we should be doing in these precious moments that we have. And I think that I have come across very magical people in my path. And when I do, I'm like a little gremlin or a vampire, and I want to just eat up their delicious energy. And one of those beautiful, beautiful souls that I met recently is probably one of the most charismatic and magnetic individuals. His magnetism, like I said, just pours out of him and rubs off on him. And that individual is Chris Fair. And I'd like to bring him on now and formally introduce you to him, because if anybody lives with a legacy or lives the full out love and life, it's definitely him. And I want him to share a bit of his story with us. But Chris was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy at the age of 6, and his brother was also diagnosed and he was 9. They grew up together. His brother's progression of the disease was a lot faster than Chris's. And in 2009, Chris created a clothing company called Link Apparel, and it was to help raise awareness to give back to people with disabilities. But I also know that he happens to be a pool shark and plays in a pool league every week. He enjoys cooking and playing the drums, and he's just an all-around really, really cool guy to be around. So please join me in welcoming Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Hi, I'm so glad that you're here with us.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that.
And we were just chatting before the podcast, but we did have a pretty amazing and magical day together. Then we did get to meet. But you have this energy. So tell us about your journey.
So as you mentioned, I was diagnosed at the age of 6 with muscular dystrophy, me and my brother. And my brother's progression of the disease was faster than mine. So I kind of got to see his journey and how he handled life and kind of mimic that. So that's kind of what I followed. So when you see that come out of me, I basically kind of mimicked him,
learned
my brother.
Him.
And seeing his progression and seeing how he had to struggle with difficulties. And so that's kind of where I kind of got my head strong from.
And if you're comfortable with it, for anybody that isn't familiar with muscular dystrophy, can you tell us a bit about it?
Yes. So muscular dystrophy is a degenerative. So what happens is I'm missing proteins in my muscles that break down. So as your muscles are constantly breaking down in anybody, they rebuild. And in my case, that doesn't happen. So what the muscles just keep breaking down and deteriorating.
Okay. And so muscles throughout the whole, someone's entire body, essentially.
There's different types of muscular dystrophy. So Duchenne's is the life expectancy is maybe lower 30s. Mm-hmm. And then Becker's is a little bit on the extreme side. So we have the gene pool lottery of limb-girdle muscular dystrophy. And what limb-girdle is basically your hip and thigh muscles, your back muscles, so your limb muscle. And in that, we actually had a rare type of limb-girdle, which affected the heart muscle.
Oh, gosh.
What
did you say?
No, go ahead.
You started to describe that you got your kind of perspective from Nick. What is that philosophy or outlook that you live by today?
There's always something positive. So in every negative, there's always a positive, no matter what it is. Even if there's a death, which my brother passed away in 2013.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. Everyone has problems. Everyone has things that happen in their life, whether it's a death, whether it's finding out you have a disease or cancer, it could be down to the littlest things, but there's always a positive in that. So that's what I focus my life on, is no matter what happens, no matter what negative comes out, there's always a positive.
I think that that's really a powerful way to live. And first, I'm sorry about your brother. And to see that about somebody that you're so close to, and to see his progression, kind of knowing that you may have, you know, a progression similar, but to only kind of see it as this is how I want to live from a philosophy standpoint is also incredible.
Yeah, it was a hard thing and a beauty thing. Again, the positive was that in 2009, we were diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, which is basically an enlarged heart. Mm-hmm. And my brother, we knew that he wasn't going to be able to receive a heart transplant because of his progression was too weak. So knowing that and going forward, even prior to that, but we knew what was going to happen so we could prepare for it, which was a good thing instead of just something, you know, happened suddenly and him just passing away.
Right. What is an unexpected learning that you've had in this journey?
There's always unexpected learnings. Finding out, you know, we needed heart transplants, finding out we have muscular dystrophy. But then not just me, in 2015, we found out that my sister had cancer. So,
oh my gosh.
There's always learning curve. There's always something unexpected and, hey, this has happened, or, you know, again, cancer or muscular dystrophy or heart problems, or just even being let go from a position or a job. But there's always positives in that. So
right.
You just got to kind of look for them.
And how have you helped? Have you helped other people? I mean, is it hard? Do some people have a tougher time kind of seeing the positive?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this wasn't something that came overnight. Again, this stems from kind of knowing where my path is going with muscular dystrophy helped me prepare for so many other things as like that come about, you know, like I said, whether it's death, whether it's jobs, whether it's breakups with a girlfriend. But kind of setting that mentality of, okay, you can get through this. This isn't the end all be all, and focusing on other things coming out of those bad situations.
Yes. You know what? And the day that we got to spend together too, my eyes were open somewhat to some of the places that the world is lacking and how to support those with disabilities. What needs to change in the world in regards to support and helping people with disabilities?
So first off, I think a lot of people, they mean well. And I think sometimes it's just ignorance. Sometimes they don't know what to do because they're not exposed to that disability community as much. So I think having more awareness to people with disabilities will definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is that dealing with the disability community, a lot of times that things that are created for people with disabilities, whether it's, let's say, clothing, whether it's medical equipment, unless it's designed by engineers, some of the other things can get left on the side. Dealing with disabilities, let's say, for instance, in 2015, I had an LVAD put in, which is a heart pump,
mm-hmm.
to help regulate my heart rhythm before I had my heart transplant 6 months later. So in that LVAD system that they give you, you have to, when you're mobile, you have to carry batteries and a controller. And what they give you to hold those batteries when you're out, it was unsafe. It wasn't really thought or planned to the patient in regards to having them be comfortable now that they have this huge system inside them and they have to carry around, this medical equipment. So out of that negative, I found a positive and I started to create these medical vests for patients that make it safe and comfortable for them to wear these batteries and controller.
Wow, that's amazing. And so that you're right. I mean, a lot of times the people that are designing equipment like that aren't necessarily the people that have to utilize it or, you know, that type of thing, or not having open conversations about it.
No, and I think a lot of the times they try to get out the major things, but they don't realize that in the disability community, a lot of times the details are the most important part. So, I mean, you can't support everybody with everything, but, you know, having something that's safe, having something that was maybe tested by people with disabilities or designed is, I think, lacking in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And it's great that you've taken that and had that spin as your philosophy, but then also being able to provide a tangible outcome or impact to really support the community.
Yes, I totally agree. Well, that's kind of been my mindset with things, is that I've been on both sides. So I've been on the side where you really can't tell that I would have a disability. And then I got to the point where I use my wheelchair a lot more to get around. And I can kind of see both sides of maybe being treated a little bit differently in the chair versus not being in the chair.
Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that? I mean, how is it different for those that so people can learn how to better help?
Sure. Sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. So sometimes being in a chair kind of alleviates that defensiveness. So I could approach somebody a lot more easier in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of takes away, I guess, the defense of like, okay, this person visibly I can see that has a disability.
I see.
Uh-huh. And you know, it's a funny thing.
You don't have to defend a disability.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So whether before when I was walking and you really couldn't tell, let's say for instance, I would be coming out of, my vehicle parked in a handicap accessible space.
Mm-hmm.
So people would look at me and say, okay, why is he in a handicap space? What's wrong with him?
Mm-hmm.
Or just kind of not think anything. And I might be abusing that privilege.
Right.
So there's hidden disabilities. It's kind of underlying issue right there.
And then on the downside, so then what's the flip side of that? So there's some benefits that once you were in the chair you were mentioning, but then what was the other side of that?
Well, the downside is that you're more exposed being that you are that you have a disability. So there's ignorance. So an example would be if I'm in a grocery store and there's large aisles,
mm-hmm.
like somebody might hug the aisle more, like I'm going to run into them. Mm. Or I'm going to, you know, lose it or something.
They overcompensate or something.
Okay. Exactly. They overcompensate.
Uh-huh. And I think that the heart, so really to your kind of suggestion or offering to people is to just raise awareness, to be around those with disabilities more often, to be less naive and to just open communication. And I think that some people come into the situation with wanting to help, and others maybe not, you know, but those that do want to, then to just be less naive in the process. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. You're totally right. You hit it right in the head.
So what kind of legacy do you hope to leave?
So when my brother and I started the clothing company in 2009, it was to bring awareness to people with disabilities. But it's also what I've been focusing on with my business more is improving the quality of life for people with disabilities. So as I mentioned, I have the LVAD vest that I'm working on with the hospitals right now to help comfort and make it safe for people living with LVAD systems. But there's also gaps in the market as far as disability ramps that exist. Mm. Or, you know, with all the technology and advancements happening, they haven't made, well, they're starting to, they're in the process, but having wheelchairs that go up steps or even one step. So to somebody going out to eat might think, okay, we can just go out to eat. For me, going out to eat, I have to see if they're accessible. Do they have, you know, a step? So keeping awareness and
just staying on it, just keeping it top of mind and focused. So can you share a bold action item for those that are listening that want to help you in your journey and make a difference? What could they do? What could they take away?
I would say just getting more involved and with people maybe, I mean, with the disability community, I think people always want to help, which is a good thing. But I think figuring out the best way to help and what they can do is probably what
so I would volunteering say. Or getting to know or.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd say volunteering.
And then how about
Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
What were you going to say? Volunteering or.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't really know. I haven't really ever thought about that. I just kind of focus on what I'm doing in my life. And however people want to get involved or, you know, how they choose to approach their life is kind of where I'd say.
And how about from a legacy perspective, how can people, you know, start changing their frame of mind and living more in the now and focusing on the positive? Do you have a takeaway in that regard?
Yeah, as I was mentioning before, focusing on the positives. But that's tough to do because if that's not your nature, you really have to work on it. Mm-hmm. My mom is extremely positive and my dad, it's not that he's negative, but he worries about every little possible thing you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So for his mindset, it's, you know, maybe you can focus on positives or maybe you don't have to worry about this as much, but it's a very hard thing to do. This wasn't something that, you know, happened overnight for me. This has been my journey throughout my entire life. So it's focusing in on your positives, even though there's negatives. You know, one thing that I'll kind of say too, which I hear people say a lot is, well, at least I don't have it this bad, or at least that, you know, I don't have it as bad as this person, which I don't like because then that person that has that problem or that disability or whatever the case may be, that's kind of putting them down in the way. I would just say focus on what you have and focus on your positives and move forward that way.
That's great. Thank you so much. If people wanted to get a hold of you or learn more about what you have going, how could they do that?
Well, I will be having the website back up again soon, which is linkapparel.com. So look for that in the next month or so. But if not, you can always contact me via my email, which is crfare@yahoo.com, or they can give me a call on my cell phone, which is 414-852-6447. So I'll be happy to answer any questions or talk to anybody.
Excellent. And we'll put some of that information up on our website as well to link out to you. Thank you so much, Chris, for being a part of the Hotbox today. We really appreciate it. And
yeah,
get back to Vegas. We need to see you again here soon.
Anytime I can get an excuse to come back to Vegas works for me.
All right. See you soon.
All right. Bye, Brandy. Thank you.
Watching the Strategic Hotbox.
That's a special shout out there from Jen Bignell. Thank you, Chuck artist, and just artist in general. And special thank you to Chris Fair for sharing his story and opening our eyes and creating and wanting to build and create awareness around those with disabilities, but also about just staying positive and focused on what the legacy is and how to live life right now in the moment. And I got, I was somewhat even speechless more than once throughout the podcast today, that just thinking to myself, like, wow, like there's just so much opportunity to just live, and the power and strength that different people have and the challenges that they have, just it just gives me the chills. It blows my mind. So now it's time, your favorite time, it's time to kick some ass. The number one kick ass for today is, I urge you to write your eulogy or outline your legacy. So if you don't want to think about it from a eulogy standpoint, then outline your legacy. What do you want to leave behind if when you're 100, 150, or however long you want to live? You know, what are you going to leave? What impact are you going to make on the world? How will you be characterized? And how, you know, will you create a better world or impact the world with the next generation? And really impact or really outline that as specifically as you possibly can, because it can be powerful and allow you to then create steps to work towards that legacy. Number two is support and learn from friends. I think that's one thing that we learned very powerfully from Chris, is that even those that try sometimes tend to overcompensate in the case of disabilities. One of the things that I was noticing when the time that we got to spend together is how much lack there is of ramps and some of the things that he was describing. And I would never have noticed if I hadn't have been spending the days and moments with him. And so I was very thankful for that opportunity, because it did raise my awareness. And so the more that we can support and learn from one another, the more that we get to share in that, and learnings are created. Number three is to find a reason to smile every damn day. Go out there and find a reason to smile every single day. And whether you frame it from the way that Chris said in focusing on the positive, or you just remember all the things that you have to be thankful for, or you look at the people around you and just smile at the amazing beings that they are, look at yourself in the mirror and just be happy that you are alive. Find a reason to smile every single day. Number four is to love full out. I am a lover. I'm a lover by nature. I'm a lover in life. I just love, love, love. And so I think that we should all love full out. And so many times we get a little fearful to really love people and to share love with different people. And there's so many like HR rules about, you know, love and connection, all these things. And, you know, whatever, love full out. And people like Chris are out there spreading love and sharing love with different people. And I urge you to do the same thing. Because people, you deserve to feel that. You deserve to feel loved and feel special, and you deserve to share that with the people around you. And the final one that I have is to live, and live in this moment, right now, today. You are older than you've ever been. In this second, you are older than you've ever been on this planet. You're also younger than you're ever going to be. So how are you going to eat up this moment, take these five kick-ass things that I just gave you, and get out there, make your life the best it's ever been? Love full out, play full out, work hard, play harder, and have some fun. Get out there and kick ass. There's your top five kick-ass. So thank you again to Chris. Thank you to Jennifer for the shout out. I feel like today's podcast was very special in a lot of different ways, but I urge all of you to start thinking about your legacy and the kinds of things, the impact that you want to make on the world. And we'd love to hear from you on different topics that we can tackle here at the Strategic Hot Box. So hit us up via email or on any of the social medias, but podcast@strategichotbox.com or Twitter or Instagram @BrandyLove. That's BrandyLuv, or at Instagram @StrategicHotbox. And online, we have some executive coaching tools, some things on how to become a CEO and what young leaders should do, and even some kick-ass weekly coaching tools that you can use and start implementing to make a difference in your lives. So head out to the strategichotbox.com and check those out. And as always, there's a community of people that really want to make a difference, and we'd like you to continue to be a part of that. So I urge you, until I see you again, keep on doing it. Live full out, love full out. Get out there and kick some ass.